Chapter 11. Srila Haridas Thakur proves loud chanting to be supreme. There are two systems in the world that determine one's caste. The first, seminal, is in regard to the particular lineage one was born into as a son or daughter. In this more common system, one obtains one's father caste in accordance with his father's lineage. The son of a Brahmin is considered to be a Brahmin, and the son of a Vaishya, means merchant or agriculturer, is considered to be a Vaishya. In the second system, one's caste is determined by dint of one's personal qualities, guna, and activities, karma. For example, although Ravan took birth in a Brahmin family, his qualities and activities mark him as a demon, not a Brahmin. The natures of human beings are divided into two categories, pious and wicked. Vaishnavas who are engaged in the service of Bhagwan are pious, and arrogant persons averse to the service of Bhagwan and devoid of good qualities are sinful, regardless of the caste they were born into. If a person born in a Brahmin family commits violence against a Vaishnava, this wicked act classifies him as sinful. A person who is envious of Sri Vishnu, devotion to Sri Vishnu, and the devotees of Sri Vishnu may be deemed a Brahmin by the community of the foolish and wicked, but a pious society considered his demonic propensities and designates him as a wicked person, Durjan only. In the village of Harinadi, in the district of Yashohara, there lived a wicked Brahmin who was fit to be called Durjan. One day, by the will of Providence, he was sitting in the company of other Brahmin when Srila Haridas Thakur passed by. Because this cruel Brahmin was naturally envious of the devotees, he burned in anger as soon as his wicked vision fell upon the Lord's dearmost, Srila Haridas Thakur, who was constantly engaged in loudly chanting Krishna Nam. This ignorant, atheistic, degraded Brahmin stopped Srila Haridas Thakur and angrily put forth unreasonable arguments. O Haridas, what have you started? Do you not know that the scriptures state that the holy name of Bhagwan should only be chanted in the mind? No scripture sanctions loud congregation chanting of Harinam. This practice of yours is unauthorized. Who gave you the foolish idea to chant loudly? These scholars here are greatly learned. Answer my questions before them. Mahabhagavat Srila Haridas Thakur never desired honor for himself, Amani, but gave all honor to others, Manad. He spoke gently with deep humility. It is greatly learned people like you who knows the glories of the holy name. I have not the slightest understanding of the subject. I have not heard the scriptural descriptions of Sri Harinam Kirtan's incomparable glories from those on the path of logic and argument. But I have heard those glories from the lips of devotees who are thoroughly versed in the truth of the holy name, Nam Tattva, and who chant the holy name purely, Shuddha Nam. Whatever knowledge I have, I present to you all. The result achieved by chanting the holy name loudly is 100 times greater than that achieved by chanting it in the mind. Therefore, the scriptures never condemn loud chanting, but rather extol its supreme glories. It is stated, Uche Shat Gunam Bhavet. One obtains 100 times more benefit by chanting out loud than by chanting in the mind. In his Gaudiya Bhashya on Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.273, the most worshipful Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur explains the inner meaning of this verse. Those who say that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only to be chanted softly while doing japa are incapable of realizing the true essence of the scriptures. The three names of the address, Hare, Krishna and Rama, are to be softly chanted in japa and loudly sung in Kirtan. Bhagwan's names can be chanted in the mind or out loud. If one chants loudly, many people can hear Bhagwan's names. By this, everyone obtains auspiciousness. The act of hearing the Lord's holy name, Shravanam, is prominent among the nine limbs of Bhakti, Navda Bhakti. If saintly persons do not chant Hari Kirtan loudly, then no one will become qualified for Shravan. Therefore, this unreasonable argument by persons averse to chanting loudly is certainly incited by Kali. In the dharma processes of the previous ages, namely meditation, dhyana, sacrifice, yajna, and deity worship, archan, kirtan of the holy name is nearly imperceptible. Because of this, there are many disputes in Kali Yuga regarding these practices. Those who have been spoiled by Kali create obstructions in the Hari Bhajan of those who pursue the ultimate goal of life. Those practicing the dharmas of Satya, Treta and Dwapar Yuga, meditation, sacrifice and deity worship respectively, abstain from entering into argument with persons spoiled by Kali. However, to remove their wicked tendencies and bring about their eternal welfare, those who chant Harinam extol Shri Nam's unlimited glories. Thus the hearts of the wicked, which have been infected by a taste for argument, obtain the proper medicine. Upon hearing Srila Haridas Thakur's words, the wicked Brahmin grew angry. "You are saying that loud chanting gives 100 times more benefit. Tell us now the reason for this." Numerous statements from the Vedic scripture began to manifest on the tongue of Srila Haridas Thakur, who was most learned, and he exuberantly described the glories of loudly chanting the holy name. "My dear sir," he said, "I will now repeat whatever the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures say on this matter. Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all scriptures, states, Yannam Griyanam Akhilan Stotram Atmanam Evacha Sadya Punati Kim Bhuyas Tasya Sprishtata Padahiti." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.34.17. A learned demigod named Sudarshan, who possessed the body of a serpent, said to Sri Krishna, "O Master, one who chants your holy name becomes purified along with all those who hear his chanting. How much more beneficial then is the touch of your lotus feet? O Brahmin, when the transcendental sound of Sri Krishna's holy name emanates from the lotus mouth of a sadhu, a bhakta or a Vaishnava, it enters the ears of living entities eager to hear it and thereby frees them from the bondage of Maya. This is because the transcendental holy name removes the living entity's inclination towards gratification and awakens his drive to serve the transcendental object, Bhagwan. By chanting the Lord's names, a living entity becomes Jivan Mukta, all liberated while in this present body. To attain liberation from material bondage, the conditioned living entity should approach a liberated soul for his mercy in the form of initiation, mantra diksha." Srila Haridas Thakur then explained the aforementioned words as follows: "Pashu pakshi kit adi valite na pare, shunile hari nam tara sabatare, japile shri krishna nam apna se tare, uccha sankirtan par upakar kare." Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.280 and 281. "O Brahmin, the animals, birds, insects, worms, etc. cannot utter the names of the Lord, but they are delivered simply by hearing them. When someone chants Harinam in his mind, he delivers only himself. But when he chants Harinam loudly, he brings about others' true welfare along with his own. Thus the scriptures proclaim that one receives 100 times more benefit by chanting Harinam out loud than by chanting it in the mind. Japato Harinamani Sthane Shat Guna Adhikaha Atmanam Sapunati Uchet जपन स्त्रोत्र पुनाति च नारदीय पुराण स्पोकन बाय श्री प्रहलाद महाराज द फ्रूट ऑफ लाउडली परफॉर्मिंग हरिनाम कीर्तन इज 100 टाइम्स ग्रेटर than that of chanting in the mind. This is because while one who chants silently purifies only himself, one who chants loudly purifies both himself and all those who hear him. The purport is that although people generally chant in their mind for their own deliverance, Bhagwan is more pleased with one who chants Govinda's name loudly to deliver not only himself but others as well. There are other living entities apart from human beings who have a tongue and can make many kinds of sounds. Yet only humans can utter Shri Krishna Nam. Someone may thus ask, trained birds can also utter Shri Krishna Nam. So can they also attain liberation? The answer is that imitating means anukaran and following anusaran are entirely different. One may attain petty benefits through imitation, but one will not attain Shri Krishna Prem. The conclusion is that no human can utter Shri Krishna Nam in the true sense. It is also certain that a conditioned soul cannot gain auspiciousness until he receives the opportunity to chant or hear Krishna Nam. Even if a living entity is unable to chant Krishna Nam, he can still hear it from the devotees of the Lord, Bhagavad Bhaktas. One's life is truly useless if one has not obtained the qualification to even hear the transcendental name Vaikuntha Nam. By chanting it loudly, one brings success to the lives of all who hear, because every living entity can be liberated in this very life by hearing Vaikuntha Nam. Loud Harinam Kirtan must never be the subject of argument or criticism. Please think for yourself, what fault is there in loudly chanting the name of Hari? It is beneficial in every respect. Naam Japa and Naam Kirtan. Keho apnare matra kare poshan, keho va poshan kare sahasrek jan, duite ke bada bhabi bhujah apane, ei abhi praye guna uccha sankirtane. Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.289-290. A selfish person maintains only himself, while someone else maintains thousands of people as well. Now kindly tell me, who is the better of the two? The person loudly performing Nam Sankirtan is not selfish. Rather, he is a selfless benefactor. Therefore, a person who chants loudly is superior to one who chants softly. After hearing Srila Haridas Thakur's statements, which were replete with philosophical conclusions, the degraded Brahmin became ferocious and spoke harshly. Six prime philosophies are famous in India. The principles and conception of them all are largely faithful to the Vedas. Until now, the respective masters, means acharyas of these six philosophies are Kapil, Patanjali, Kannar, Akshapada, Jaimini and Vyasa. From where has this Haridas emerged to become the Acharya of the seventh philosophy? I am seeing the path shown by the Vedas gradually disappearing. I have heard that at the end of Kali Yuga, Shudras, means laborers, will study and teach the Vedas. But it has begun already now at the very beginning of Kali Yuga, with Shudras and Yavanas like you already studying and teaching the Vedas. I cannot imagine the situation at the end of Kali Yuga. Alas, it is certainly the age of Kali. Influenced by inevitable time, people like Haridas have begun to destroy the Vedic path. What other new philosophies must be endured due to the influence of Kali? Posing as a transcendental philosopher, you are giving an explanation that contradicts those fruitative workers who are against bhakti. You do this to exalt yourself and to cunningly bring others under your control so that you can gather delicious food from them. People such as you act in this way only to eat opulently at other houses. Srila Haridas Thakur's exceptional scriptural statements about the holy name only intensified the animalistic nature of that atheistic, degraded Brahmin. He ferociously cursed Srila Haridas Thakur and vowed, if Haridas' explanation of the holy name's glories differs from that of the scriptures, I will retaliate by publicly cutting off his nose and ears. Srila Haridas Thakur did not respond to the harsh words of that conceited Brahmin. Although aggrieved at heart, he smiled outwardly and loudly chanting, continued on his way. All the other Brahmins there were controlled by their sinful minds. They sat silently and did not give Srila Haridas Thakur's statements due consideration. Demonic Brahmins. Those who support sinful people are themselves sinful. The evil people in that assembly did not counter the offensive words of that atheistic, degraded Brahmin. What to speak of support the scripturally based statements of Srila Haridas Thakur? The true duty of Brahmins is to perform Hari Bhajan. A person averse to this duty is termed a demon, Rakshasa, even if he took birth in a Brahmin family. Such people, upon their demise, suffer profuse punishment at the hands of Yamaraj. This was an assembly of Brahmins in name only. Factually, they were only demons. Kali Yuga Rakshasa Sakal Vipra Ghare Janvibike Sujaner Himsa Ghari Vare Shri Chaitanya Bhagavad Adikhand 16.300. In Kali Yuga, demonic people who spite Vishnu and the Vaishnavas take birth in Brahman families in order to harm the Vaishnavas. Rakshasa Kalim Ashrita Jayanti Brahma Yonishu Utpanna Brahmana Kule Badhyanti Shrotayam Krishan Varaha Puran spoken by Lord Shiva. Taking shelter of Kali Yuga, demons take birth in Brahmin families and harass those extremely rare virtuous souls who adopt the Vedic way of life. E sabhe vipres parsha katha namaskar dharma shaste sarvatha nished karivar Shri Chaitanya Bhagavad Adikhand 16.302. Religious scriptures completely forbid one to touch, speak to, or offer pranam to such Brahmins. In his Gaudiya Bhashya on the above verse, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur writes, one should not even touch conceited Brahmins who are inimical to Sri Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. If one touches such a Brahmin by chance, then it is one's duty to bathe fully clothed in the Ganga. While conversing with such Brahmins, one is sure to fall down. If one respects them by offering obeisances and so on, one will certainly deviate from the path of Vishnu Bhakti. Therefore, authorized scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam and the Dharma Shastras declare those who are against falling Vaishnav etiquette to be fallen along with their families. Kim atra bahu uktena brahmana yehi avaishnava tesham sambhashanam sparsham pramadanapi varjet. Padma Puran spoken by Lord Shiva. There is no need to speak much on this subject, but one thing you should always remember is that one should not, even by mistake, speak to or touch a person who, although a Brahmin by birth, is not a Vaishnav. Shopakam eva niksheta lok vipram avaishnavanam Vaishnav varna bhai api punati bhuvanatrayam. Padma Puran. Just as it is improper or prohibited by Shastras to see dog eaters, it is also improper to see a Brahmin who is not a Vaishnav. Yet, regardless of his caste, a Vaishnav purifies the three worlds. Brahmana hai jadi a Vaishnav hai, tabe tar alap hai, punya jayak hai. Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adikhand 16.305. One loses one's piety by conversing with someone who, although born a Brahmin, is a non-devotee who has not been initiated into the Vaishnava path. That contemptible Brahmin who was envious of Vaishnavas was doomed to be punished for his offences at the lotus feet of Srila Haridas Thakur. Within a few days, he contracted leprosy and his nose melted off. Srila Haridas Thakur never cursed that wicked Vaishnava Pradi, an atheist, nor did he desire inauspiciousness for him. Yet the Lord punished the Brahmin severely for his harsh criticism of Srila Haridas Thakur. Srila Haridas Thakur was aggrieved to see the pathetic condition of those averse to Sri Hari and engrossed in worldly enjoyment. His heart melted in compassion, and as he chanted Krishna Krishna, he would sigh deeply. The residents of Sri Mayapur warmly received him. After some days, Srila Haridas Thakur went to Sri Mayapur, Navdeep, desiring to see the pure Vaishnava associates of Sriman Mahaprabhu. All the devotees became joyful to see him. Srila Advaitacharya Prabhu had residences in both Shantipur and Mayapur. Sometimes he would stay in Shantipur and at other times in Mayapur. When Srila Haridas Thakur arrived in Navdeep Mayapur, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu happened to be there. Acharya Gosai Haridasir Paiya Rakhilena Pran Haite Adhik Kariya, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.311. Upon meeting Srila Haridas Thakur, Sri Advaitacharya deemed him dearer than his own life and kept him there with utmost care. All the Vaishnavas had great affection for Srila Haridas Thakur, and Srila Haridas Thakur had deep respect for them. Seeing the Vaishnavas' affection for Srila Haridas Thakur, the malevolent atheist shot at them with arrows of envious words. Hearing these words, the devotees sorrowfully discussed the pitiful condition of such wretched people. At that time, people intoxicated by the rush of worldly pleasure never endeavored to study or follow Vaishnava scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead, they tried to satiate their senses. Despite this, the pure devotees increased each other's bliss by discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They held such discussions about their worshipable deities, Ishtagoshti, while staying far away from material enjoyment and desiring the highest, eternal welfare for the entire world.